Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf pei, and we're holding at the very top of pei amud aleph, and we're starting a brand new Mishnah. The Mishnah is going to tell us some fascinating facts, Rabbi Say. Halakiach peiros shoivach mechaveroi. A person is buying peiros shoivach. Shoivach, of course, is a dovecot. He's not selling the dovecot. He's holding on to the dovecot. He's only selling the peiros. Now, what are peiros of a dovecot? Of course, that means the doves. Which doves is he selling? Says our Mishnah, Mafriach Berecha Rishoina. The Lekeach has to leave with the Moicher the very first Berecha. Berecha means pear. We're going to see the Rishbam momentarily. And Rishbam is going to give us a very fascinating background of how all of this works. There is a Mami dove who gives birth initially to a Berecha Rishoina. That is the first pear. Rishbam is going to tell us that the custom among the doves is that they give birth 12 times a year and appears to be to twins, one a Zohar and one an Akeva, with the exception of 1 month. So 11 out of 12 months, they have new Brechois. Brechois means a pair that were born. And it's very, very important, explains the Rishbam, and as we'll see in the Gemara, that when you leave the initial mami, the mami's not being sold, you're only selling the peiros of the mami bird. It's very, very important that you leave with it that first brech rishoina. Why is that? Because if the moicher were to go and sell all of the birds, with the exception of the mami bird would quickly fly the coop, literally. Why would it fly the coop? Because it doesn't have a tzevis. Tzevis means it has nobody to talk to, no family, no
mishpacha.
No companionship. That's the right word. No companionship. And therefore you leave the brecha rishoina with the mami to be its companion so that the mami doesn't go away. And if you're thinking to yourself, what happens if the mami goes away? Then the bala shoivach basically is going to go bankrupt vis-a-vis the shoivach. Once the mami leaves, everybody has vacated. There are no tenants left, nobody left in the Shevach, zero. So it's very, very important to keep the mami satisfied by giving it companionship of the first brecha.
Oh.
But before we continue on, we're going to see in the Gemara in Yetz Hashem that the first brecha also wants companionship. And as we'll see in the Gemara, the companionship of the mother doesn't do the trick for the brecha rishoina for the kids. And therefore, that brecha rishoina in turn is going to go and give birth to its brecha rishoina, which will be, of course, a niklach of the original mami bird, now a babi bird, that also has to be left over by the lekeach with the moicher. And that is understood as the minik hamokam. You don't have to spell it out. It's understood. If I, the moicher, selling to you the lekeach, the peiros hashoivach, all offspring which are there inside the shoivach are sold, with the exception of the original mami, by the way, with its husband, its mate, together with the brecha rishoina, as it says in the Mishnah, and the brecha shniyah, as we'll see in the Gemara. So let's take a quick look at the Rishbam, who explains it very beautifully. Top Rishbam. Halakiach peiros shoivach. Kigoyim. She'om aloi benissen. It was chodesh nissen. Machar li peiros shonazu. Go and do me a favor and sell me all the peiros of this forthcoming year, Mashi Yelda B'chol Chodesh, that are going to be born each month. Alvi Mois Lekonim. He didn't go and sell the Mois, it's only the Peiros. V'derech HaYoinim La'as Yishnei V'lodes B'chol Chodesh. It's the minig, if you will, that the Yoinim give birth to two V'lodes, that's a Brecha, B'chol Chodesh, every month. Zohar Unikeva, a male and a female. Chutz Mechodesh Adar, Shein Yoldim, Mechodesh Adar, they take a month off vacation, and they don't have children.
What if there are two Adars?
Good question. Vano v'lodos kam hein.
Do they know the Sanhedrin declared a new order or not? You have to ask them.
Exactly.
They saw the messengers coming from Yerushalayim.
Exactly. Vano v'lodos gam heim l'say beis chadoshim oisim v'lodos b'chol chaydish. Rabbi Yishlom gave koyach into these new doves. They don't have to wait until they become bar mitzvah or bas mitzvah, until puberty, to be able to have children. Already 2 months after they're born, these
they're
baby
fertile.
Doves are sufficiently fertile and have sufficient reproductive organs to be able to have their own children. Therefore, these v'lodos, after 2 months, Oisin v'lodois b'chol chodesh, again, except for chodesh Adar, b'chol shnei v'lodois kruyin brecha. Every pair together, each month, is called a new brecha. Zok, next Rishbam, mafriach, halakiach brecha rishoyna, the one that is buying the brecha rishoyna, because that's the peyrois, meiniach lifroyach im ho'em, leaves that brecha rishoyna with the mami, lifroyach, to fly with the mami, to fly in companionship, she'ois leimachar, that brecha rishoyna, the lekeach has to leave, and that's the Lashon HaMishnah, the lekeach is mafriach, he allows the brecha rishoyna to continue to fly with the mami in the hands and in the possession of the moicher. Oysa leimacher. Why? Shekein derech ha-moicher and peirish shoivach li'akev brecha rishoyna. It was common for the moicher to leave over the brecha rishoyna. Li'ois tzeves. Tzeves means companionship. Li'imohois for the mamis. Li'iskayim ha-shoivach. So that the shoivach will continue to blossom and to flourish. Pen yivrechu imohois. If the mami is going to run away, v'hu shoivchoi loimachar, he didn't sell the shoivach, he only sold the peiros of shoivach. Hilchav mestamek amreich rishoyne shoshonazu ikev im ha-shoivach, presumably, even if he didn't say so expressly and explicitly, when you're holding back the mother, you're holding back the breich rishoyne, dezu hikim ha-shoivach, with this, the shoivach will continue to exist for many years to come. Uvimar mefarish, v'sini gemara degam peiros rishoynim, tahi breich rishoyne, the Brech Rishoyna's own Brech Rishoyna, which will be 2 months later, like the Rishbam said before, Ul Tishayir HaMoicha Liyois Tzeves Lehach in Brech Rishoyna. We're leaving over not only the Mami and the first generation Brech Rishoyna, but also the Enekloch, the Brech Rishoyna's Brech Rishoyna, to be a Tzeves for that middle Brech Rishoyna. So the Enekloch will be companions with the children, and the children will be companions with the babi, with the grandmother. Why pendivrach? Before
we machapleita.
The machapleita. Do I ima loy mitztavsa? Because the otherwise the ima is not going to have a companion. If the brecha rishoyna were to flee, tivrach gamo ein, then the mami will also flee. And if it's a mafter shoyvcha, kach dati lefar shebi gemara. So that's the way it appears to me in the Gemara. Okay, we're going to talk more about it when we get to the Gemara, but you see already, that's the first case. Now we're on to Peiros Kaveres. Peiros Kaveres is not what we have in mind, honey, but we're talking about bees. A person, people buy and sell bees. Yeah, that's right. Not to give bees things, but to go and produce honey. So Peiros Kaveres, if I sell you the peiros, that are the bees of my beehive, noitel gimel nechilem, the lekeach has bought three nechilim. Nechilim means three swarms of bees. And umesaris, and the original moicher, from that point on, has to be mesaris. The what means mesaris? We'll see in the Gemara Mechem two separate pshatim. On the surface, mesaris sounds like to castrate. However, that is prohibited. And I tell you, now that I castrate any, not only a human being, but even an animal or fowl or even bees. So we're going to tell us Mechem the Gemara shortly. That's not exactly what we mean. We'll see Mitchum in another moment. Now, in terms of how many bee swarms are born to a beehive, etc., so we'll take continue on with the Rishbam, who explains it beautifully. Peiros Kaveres, that's the next Rishbam, Shoshana Achas, 1 year's produce of the beehive, which means the bees, the Voidim HaNelod Min HaKaveres, those are the bees that are born in the beehive. No, until gimel nechil. Gimel nechil means gimel chaburois, three swarms. Hanay lodois rishoina, which are born initially. Vigimel zmanim mites yomim o yud yomim ze acher ze. Apparently, every 9 or 10 days, another bunch of swarms come out. At least 3 of them, or whatever. Shekein derech hakaveres. It's chilas yemois hakayitz when it starts off the summer months. Yoitzim in a kaveres nechil shol devoirim, protrude and leave the kaveres in the chil a swarm of bees. Yulodois, young ones, sheyoldu imois that the mammies gave birth to. Vyoishvin al anafa ilan. And now what do those bees do? Where do they go to? The machapleita, they don't go to Australia. They go on to a nearby branch of a tree. Or maybe kaveres chodesh, and now the owner brings a brand new beehive. Or machlis l'toich, and he said, okay, chevra, you left your original birthplace. You left that original beehive. And now please move into this brand new beehive. Same thing happens again after 9 or 10 days. Again, yoitz in echel shul dvoinam acher. Oh, another 9 or 10 days pass. A brand new swarm of bees has come on the world. And again, maybe kaveres acheres reikonis or machnis esoicha. Kum terayin, all of you swarm of bees. V'chen ashlishi, and this happens a third time as well. The koyin loy, this whole business is called the tirtzu. In Greece, from the beginning of the Kayetz, every 9 or 10 days, this can repeat itself and repeat itself 7 or 8 times during the summer months to have all of these new swarms of bees. However, where we live in Provence, presumably, during the whole summer, you only get 3 swarms altogether. Vashlishi Garua Mikula. The third one is the most inferior, the Achron Garua. As the Doiris keep on going, Doiris Holchen Umis Ma'atin, in terms of the quality. Why? Presumably the mommy bee that's producing all of these bees
exhausted.
Has exhausted all of its strength and all of its.
It's the Karatzlanis Erev Pesach.
Okay. The Achron Garua, these are the most inferior. So therefore, when a person says, I'm buying from you the Peiris Kaveris Shoshana Zu, even though it might in Malchus Yavin produce 7 or 8 times, you only get the first 3. And then Masaris, what happens with the post 3? Then you have to, quote-unquote, try to do a castration. But we don't really mean Chas V'Shalom to castrate. We'll see that in the Gemara in further detail.
It'd be very challenging on such a small creature.
Why do you have to do a castration?
You'll see. It's not that you have to, but it's for the...
It's customary.
Not only customary, if the Baal HaKaveris wants to be able to produce brand new honey, the only way he'll be able to do it is if the new bees which are remaining with him, these are the inferior ones, not the better ones. The better ones he sold. The inferior ones that he sold, that he kept for himself. If they're going to be busy with mating one another, then they're not going to have time to devote to producing new drash. So therefore he does an eitzah, as we'll see in the eitzah in a moment, that the bees are not going to be preoccupied with inyone tashmish and inyone shiduchem and inyone, things like that. And therefore, instead of calling his wife honey, he'll produce brand new honey.
Right.
Good. Continuing on. Chalis Vash, what happens if a person sells, I'm selling you the honeycombs? Chalis Vash means honeycombs within the beehive. Meniach Beis Chalis, you leave 2 over in the beehive and all the others are sold. The Rishbam says, Bederach Klal, in these beehives, presumably it depends on the size of the beehive, you usually have anywhere from 10 to 20 honeycombs. And these honeycombs, as you know, says Rishbam, is made out of partially out of wax, partially out of honey, and they are containers and compartments of honey. So if I'm buying from you, the owner of the beehive, I want to get all of your honeycombs, I get all of them with the exception of 2. 2 I have to leave behind. The reason why I have to leave behind, explains Rishbam, is because the bees only produce the honey during the summer months when it's nice and warm. During the cold winter months, there's nothing to talk about because there are no new
flowers
that from which they can take the pollen and to go make it and convert it.
Do they hibernate?
Yes, exactly. Hibernate inside the caveras, inside the beehive. That's why there are very few bee stings during the winter. Everybody gets bee stings and mosquito bites during the summer months. So, but during that period of time, they have to eat, right? The bees, if the bees are not going to eat, it's not going to be to be, it's going to be not to be. The bees are not going to be able to survive. See, what do the bees eat? They themselves eat honey. So therefore you leave over 2 chalas and that'll be enough to keep them fed through the winter months until the summer begins. Finally, if you agree with someone to go and buy the branches of an olive tree to be able to go make olive wood, I don't know if you remember, but years ago you were able to go and get in some of these souvenir stores the carvings of olive wood, which
right, in Eretz Yisrael.
In Eretz Yisrael, and you would be able to get for Esroigim in an olive wood box.
Right.
Or you can get some bixel in an olive wood box.
Now, we had earlier this used for torches because it's very oily, so it's very good for.
Exactly. So a person now bought Zayas trees, Lokut, not for the trees that should grow olives, but to grow and grow branches. What he can do is he can cut off all the branches, but meniach shnei grupis. You have to leave 2 branches behind. Why? Because if you leave two, it will rejuvenate and regenerate. However, if you cut out two grupios, in other words, you only leave one lemushel, this zayis will die very quickly. Therefore, if you want it to continue to exist, leave over two branches. Yes.
The Archel says if one bought olive trees to cut for lumber, but I think you're not allowed to like destroy fruit-bearing trees.
That's a very good question. Our Gemara doesn't address it today. Maybe we'll have it in the future. However, there are, even though today we are typically very machmer about this because you don't want to get a suffix chas v'shalom, suffix nefoshes, pikuach nefesh. And unfortunately, there are many documented cases. People are not careful in Rachman of Fun with very bad endings. I had a contractor who worked at my house in Muncie, and he was Jewish, not religious, but he knew about this business. We had an apple tree, which was in our backyard, which was already goses. It was kind of lying on the floor. It was no longer standing. But we told him, it's an apple tree. Yeah, he knows. Anyway, two or three weeks later, he'd come by, the whole apple tree was gone. So, he told the goyim, and the goyim didn't listen to him, and they cut it. Anyway, two or three weeks later, Nebuch, holech leilomoy, and he was all in his 50s. A young man, stark, and all.
I thought this rule only applies to Eretz Yisrael. It applies to...
Yeah, chutzlitz as well. Okay. So you got to be careful. But now, yes, Andy.
In Flatbush, there's 40 land hours.
Yeah, of course.
And many years before they built the current building, a temporary building built around the tree. Mm-hmm. The tree was deep there. They couldn't tear it down. Built a mouse. In the shul was the tree. Mm-hmm. The void coming down.
That's where they have the same thing. It also says like Dalaramas or Dalaramas. It was a tree growing in the Besmedish. It was in a glass case.
In Borough Park, right?
People shouldn't touch it. Yeah.
Until now, it's Oyvim HaMocher, 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 HaMocher. This mission is using the expression HaMocher. It's a shift in language. Is there any significance to that you've noticed or know it?
I think the answer is because in each case, the Lekeach bought all the Perish Shoivach. And we're telling the Keach, you think you bought everything, but Mafriach, there is an exception to the rule. You have to leave behind your breaker.
Stub of some kind, some minimum.
Right. Now, in terms of the cutting of the branches, what Amish is telling us is that if you leave the two groupios, then the tree will not die. Mm-hmm. If the tree won't die, then you won't have the potential violation of that rule about killing or destroying an Ilan Mach. The Morris says elsewhere as well that if this Isser only applies if the fruit are more valuable than the lumber, if the fruit are so inferior that you sell all of the zaysim that you can only get a dollar for it, and the tree is worth $500, then you're allowed to. Once again, l'halacha, the minig is to be very machmer about these things. However, legally, according to the Gemara at least, you have to check out Shulchan Aruch, according to the Gemara, if the wood is more valuable than the zaysim, you're allowed to go and chop. But that's why Mishnah says, leave the last two branches to regenerate. Okay, Zuki Mori, yes, we started off with that Brecha Rishoyna. We want to keep the Shoivach in its existence. So not only are we leaving the Mami, because the Mami wasn't sold, only the payers were sold, but you have to leave the first Brecha. Freitim of Atanya, not only the Brecha Rishoyna, but the Brecha Rishoyna Ushnia, the second one as well. Now, Rishvam explains that the Gemara assumed in the Havamina, that means the Mami bird, we not only leave for companionship its first set of twins, but also its second set of twins, which are born a month later.
So the grandkids?
Not the grandkids. When the Havamin assumes that we're talking about two groups of twins that belong to the original mommy bird. So the mommy bird.
Siblings.
All four are siblings, right. Exactly. Like Rishbam said, the first, just to give a marshal, Rishbam said that in Chodesh Nisan, Kegon Shomle B'Chodesh Nisan, sell me all the payrois, and that Chodesh, next Chodesh, Lemushon Iyar, we already had the first pair. And now in Sivan, the next pair, more assumed than half a minute, you have to hold back two brechas. But the Mishnah said only one brecha. And you're telling me two brechas. Amar of Kana loy kasha. Halach holi ima. Both the Mishnah and the Brites are saying the same thing. That you leave over the first brecha, meaning the first pair of kids. In the case of the Mishnah, we're talking about the mommy bird. We leave over her first pair of kids. That's a brecha rishai. The Brice is that not only do we leave over for the mommy bird its first brecha, but that first brecha's first brecha. And therefore the shnia is, like you said, the einiklach, these are already the grandchildren of the babi. What's the reason why? Because just like we want that there should be tzeves, companionship, for the mommy bird, we want it to be companionship for the first pair of birds. Because if there's no companionship for that first pair, what are they going to do? They're going to mock up later. They're going to run away. And then the mommy bird will be stuck without anybody, and she'll run away. And that's the end of this shaykh. So to make sure... Sorry?
I just feel afraid to become empty nesters.
Empty nesters. Beautiful. Shelly, where are you? Perfect. Shelly. Empty nesters. They're all going to fly the coop. And then the coop will be... Good. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara. So our Mishnah is talking about that the mommy bird leave over its first brecha. The Bryce is saying, and leave over the brecha Rishoina's first brecha. Because if the first brecha doesn't have companionship from its kids, then they are going to mach up later. Frank Gemara, let me understand this. Maishna ima the mitstavsa abrata the azuga, the shafkinen lo. Why do we say by the mommy bird that has the benefit of two companions? Number one, zuga, that means its own mate, presumably the male form of this ima.
The zaydi.
The zaydi, good. And we're also leaving over its brata, meaning its first brecha rishayna, shafkinela. Why don't we say, ihinami titstavsa a'ima vazuga, the shafkinela ima? In other words, or the shafkinela. Why don't we go and say by the brecha rishayna, why does the brecha rishayna have to have the companionship of a brecha shniya? Why don't we say that just like the mami, the babi, is having the companionship of the first brecha, guess what? The first brecha will have the companionship of its parents, of its mami. It'll work both ways. Dutz dadi, they say in Israel, right?
Two-way street.
A two-way street. The mami will have the companionship of the children, and the children have the companionship of the mami. What do you have to have the brecha shniya for? The einiklach. That's the Gemara's kasha. Every Gemara, ima abrata mitstavsa. Brata ima loy mitstavsa. A mami can suffice itself with the companionship of its kids. Oh, proud. And nachas, my kinderlich, my offspring, estavsa. But the parent, the children, unfortunately, don't want or don't need the companionship of their mami. You have a similar expression in Yiddish that they say that a mother can take care of seven children, and if seven children can take care of a mother. And you see that, unfortunately, today, very, very stark terms, that you have a mother has all these kinloch, and they're driving her crazy for an alle Zeiten, but nevertheless, she manages to have patience and time to be able to take care of all seven kids. And Chas v'Shalom, when the mommy now becomes frail, and she's now 102, none of them say, I can't, I'm busy with this, I'm busy with that, I can't, you too, and then they put him in a nursing home, etc., etc.
Can you just explain how we settle the contradiction between the Mishnah and Rav Kahana, who says that...
No problem. We're going to settle that momentarily. Not with the Mishnah, the Braisa, and then Rav Kahana's answer.
Right.
So the answer is the following. Each time for companionship, you have to have the next generation. And our Mishnah, it says that if you're buying the Peter Shoivach, says our Mishnah, you leave over the first breaker, Shoivach, yeah, because that's going to be a companionship for the Mamadah. What the Braisa says is, and in addition to that, you also have to leave right for the Brecha Rishoina, it's Brecha Rishoina, so you have to have three generations. The Mami, who is not sold anyway, because that's not the Peiros, the Brecha Rishoina, which I need for the Tzevets, for the companionship of the Mami, and then the Einikloch to be the companionship for the Brecha Rishoina. So that answers the question in terms of the Stira. Says now Rishbam, so now you're thinking to yourself, so why doesn't the Brecha Shnia need now companionship from its kids, and you can go on infinitum. You can go, yeah, the third, they need the third, and the third needs the fourth, and the fifth. So the Rishbam says, once you have three generations, it becomes like a whole family together, and therefore there's already plenty of companionship. The Einikloch now feel comfortable with the parents, and the Babi and the Zaydi. Babi and Zaydi buy them treats from time to time. So, Baruch Hashem, they're now one happy family, and therefore you don't need to come on to a Brecha Shlishis. And now we continue on to the next case of the swarms of the bees. Peiros Kaveris, Noitel Gimel Nechilim Umesaris, the Lekech takes three Nechilim, three swarms, and the original owner, the Mocher, he is Mesaris, the remaining Nechilim that are born, if he has four and five and six. He doesn't sell those he kept for himself, so the Peiros, so the Lekech who buys the Peiros Kaveris should be aware he's only getting three, he's not getting more than three. The Mocher retains more than whatever is beyond three, and he's Mesaris. Praise him by Mesarsim. He's really going to be Mesarsim. How could that be? Omer Yuno Mishmul B'chardel. He's going to have them eat chardel, which is mustard seed. How that's going to cause Cedrus, we'll see in a moment. I just remind you that back in Perek Lo Yachpor, we talked about what happens if you have two next-door neighbors. One had Devoirim growing, the other had Chargal growing. Gemara talked about what Alamazik Laharchik Esatzmoy, Alanizik Laharchik Esatzmoy.
Who was there first?
And one Man Yoma says, they are both Mazikim and Nizoikim, because the Devoirim, by eating up the Chargal, they're Mazik, the Bal HaChargal, and the one that owns the Chargal, he's Mazik, the Devoirim. In which respect is he Mazik the Devoirim? The Gemara says he's Masaris. Really? He's Masaris? They are now castrated, they can't have kids. No, it's not the eating of mustard that causes them no longer to reproduce. Because what they're eating is so sharp. Have you ever been to one of these delis where they give you everything is full of salt and full of pepper and everything, and after that you have to buy three drinks just to get it out of your mouth? They especially do that, probably.
Probably to inflate their profits.
Exactly, to get more people to go and buy another Coca-Cola and another Coca-Cola, etc. And we tell you, Shabian Chad, because they are so chad, sharp, with the chardel, and then they eat up their own devash. They eat up their own. So how does that make them serious? Says Rishbam, they eat up so much devash to take away the chad in their mouths. They are now, in a sense, like obese, and they are no longer interested
in relations
with another mate, and all they're going to do now, from now until forever, is work on producing new dvash. So that's the serious. Not a physical serious, it's more of an emotional type of thing. If you look at the Rishbam, three lines in. Umisaris. Kloima. Mikam de'ilach yigrim lehem ha'moicha shi'estar su'mi'alei. He's going to cause mi'alein funjich alein. In other words, from their conduct, that they're no longer going to have kids. V'yasa oit peiris. K'dei shi'hu trudin v'asukin lasi dvash. I don't want more bees. I already had enough bees. And after three swarms, Rishbam says, they're gerua. They just become inferior. So I don't need. But I do need more dvash. V'chol zman sh'oisim dvash in oisim v'lodeis. It's one or the other. They cannot do two things at one time, right? Ford couldn't go and chew gum and walk down the street at the same time. So here too, they cannot both produce. I didn't make this up.
It's actually not the quote.
No, but it's something similar. Right?
It was something that's actually cleaned up from what President Johnson really said.
Okay, well, whatever it is, it's probably something we shouldn't discuss.
Yeah.
But anyway, so kol zman she'oisin dvash, ein oisin v'lodeis. If they're busy making honey, they're not going to be busy making v'lodeis. V'advash l'moicharu. He needs the dvash. She came down and kaveris. L'ach she'yotze kol z'chilim. Oisin dvash. Some go and kill the bees, and then take out the dvash. Others go and remove either the bees or the dvash and move it over to something else. Anyway, to a new home. That's business. And then there's a Rishbam down below also.
That was on the Mishnah.
Okay,
right?
Yeah, now that was the Mishnah. Now we go down to Chardel. It's about 12 lines from the bottom of the yomid. You have that?
Yeah.
Chardel. L'achilan chardel, you go and give the bees to eat mustard seed. Lo yichar mesarsen. Ela grom ba'alma kagorim lehu kinemafarsh. Like the Gemara explains. It's going to eat the chardel. It's going to be pi and chad. It's going to be bitter in their mouth. V'oichlois estufshon. U'mitoich svi'uson. Since they're now going to be full.
Satiated.
V'yichalt v'savota. Or some litvakasi v'savota. They're going to be a sviusan, but Taylor is my peripheria. They're so full. I don't have the koyach to go and mate anymore with my, have relations with other bees, and therefore instead of to bees, it's going to be not to bees. Therefore, if he's too busy with making dvash, he's just going to continue making dvash, and he'll be part of the peripheria. Anyway, that's the pshat of Mesar, so no physical castration, no bee, causes it mi'aleh. And we go back to the Gemara now. Jokti moravaita. Masni Satana, in the Braisa we had a different shot. Noitel, slightly different. Noitel gimelachim vze achas there. Mikan ve'elech, noitel achas u'meniach achas. Which means that we didn't stop at three nechilim, but rather, although the Mishnah says noitel gimelachilim u'mesaris, what it means is that first the lekeach gets the first three nechilim, and then nechil number four, it wasn't mefarish, Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan Omar. Skip the line, second wide line. He takes three nechilim besirus. Now, what means serious? Says Rishbam. Serious over here has nothing to do with castration, nothing to do with avoiding relations. Rather, what we're talking about is b'seirusin. And Rishbam quotes the Gemara Maseches Megillah. What happens if you lay a Megillah b'seirusin? There's a Mishnah over there, seirusin, b'seirugin.
Jumping back and forth.
Jumping back and forth. What's the jumping back and forth that we're talking about with the bees? What we're talking about is, since Rishbam established that as the bees continue the next swarm, the next swarm, the next swarm, they become more and more inferior. And Barry explained that the reason is because the mommy bee doesn't have enough koyach to go and produce 10, 20 swarms of bees with all of the koyches that a bee needs, so they keep on getting more and more inferior. So when you buy the three, you buy it b'seirusin, meaning that, yes, you get three nechilim, but you get 1, 3, and 5, and you leave 2, 4, and 6 for the original moich.
The quality is averaged out.
It's averaged out. You don't just share.
Well, you don't just get the garua ones leaving behind to.
And
to,
what does it mean, seirusin with Megillah?
Megillah needs to go and skip from one to the other.
Why would you want to do that?
You don't have someone, let's say, who knows how to lane all the prukim. So this person lanes parak aleph, then this person lanes parak gimel, then this person lanes parak beis. Because you don't have someone who can lay the Megillah beginning to end, so you do it in a skip-around fashion.
Yeah. Let's look at the Rishbam. For Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan is about 10 lines from the bottom, towards the end of the line of the Rishbam. Rabbi Yochanan. Lava sirishol zachris mayrikot. We're not talking about chas v'sholom sirus of castration. El hay sirus loshen dilikot means to skip. Kimoy koris sirusim v'mesachsos Megillah Yerushalmis. V'ochik omer masnisim. No, he took him the chilim ayyadei diluk. What means diluk? That the lekeach skips and he gets rishon shlishi v'chamishi. 1, 3, and 5. V'amoycha yitol hashar means he gets 2, 4, and 6. Shiyeh lishneyem min atoivim u'min akhushim. Like you said, that we should average it out. He should get some good ones. He should get some shvacher ones. Shekein derech stam moycha. That's what the minig was. You're buying a bunch of swarms, gezintahit. He said, I'm buying 3 swarms. Says the Mishnah Abba Besirus. What size Besirus? You don't get 1, 2, and 3. You get 1, 3, and 5. He gets 2, 4, and 6. And presumably you would continue on if there are more Nechilim than just the 6. However, Masisa Detana, getting back to the Gemara, the Braisa made a slight emendation or a slight different version. And what is that? The Loikeach Noitel Gim Nechilim Bezeachazeh. He gets 1, 2, and 3. That's done. Beyond the first three, then
you alternate.
Then you start the alternate, and therefore it could be he's going to get, let's say, altogether twice 10 nechilim. So he gets 1, 2, and 3, and then he's going to get, the moich will get number 4, he'll get 5. Moich will get 6, he'll get 7, and so on and so forth.
Meaning that 6, 7 are going to be inferior.
They're going to share, but they share the inferior quality bees. They're not. Someone's not getting just all the good ones,
right.
and then the owner is left with all the weak ones.
Right.
So he gets the 3 initials that he paid for. Fair enough. But after that, if he's getting all the bees of the year, so they trade off. So the diminishing quality doesn't tax one of them unfairly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So then
penalize one of them unfairly.
Right. So then from that on, after the 3, he'll get all the odd ones. Because the moich will get number 4, and then the original lokeach is going to get number 5. He'll keep number 6 and he'll keep it 7. So it'll be 5, 1, 2, 3, then 5, 7, 9.
So he averages out in a fair transaction.
Yeah, exactly. So that's how it works according to Braisa. And the Braisa, then the shot in the Mishnah is very, very nice. Going back to the Mishnah, Peter Skaveris, Noitu 3 Nechilim, he takes the first 3 Nechilim, Umasaris, and then after that starts the Serusa, and he starts skipping.
Alternating.
Right. And according to the first shot of Rabbi Yochanan, when he buys the 3 Nechilim, he's being Masaris within the first 3 Nechilim. In other words, he doesn't get 1, 2, and 3. He gets the 3 based on a jumping, on a skipping type of mechanism. So he's going to get 1, 3, and 5. And the other one gets the Lekeach, will keep 2, 4, and 6. See, I told you it's going to be fascinating. Right, and the Mishnah says, Chalis Vash, Meniach Shtei Chalis, he leaves the 2 Chalis for the winter, for the bees, during the winter. Now we're going to get a little bit into Hilchos Tuma V'Tahara, but as you'll see, it's going to be pretty easy. Omer of Kahana, Tvash B'Kaveres, the dvash inside the kaveres, even though it has never come out, it's still buried within the kaveres, within the honeycombs, it still has a shame ma'achal. What means that, the shame ma'achal? When it comes to tumah v'tahara, not everything can become tummy. Only those things which you learn from psukim or halacha l'mishmisina can become tummy. So for instance, a person can become tummy if he goes and touches the mushuk and sheretz or nevela or whatever, and kalim can become tamei. For instance, a balchai, if you have a shor or a para, you have a living animal. Living animal does not become tamei. You can go and take a dead sheretz, throw it at that animal, or take a nevela, throw it at the animal. Animal is not mekabel tamei. And that's the halacha. And odom and kalim can become tamei. Now, what happens if you have a thing which is not a kli? Just more called it even golmekli. Golmekli means that you're starting to produce a kli, but it's not finished yet. It's still a goylem. It's an unfinished product. Or for that matter, you didn't even start your product yet. You have a
raw material.
Raw material. You have a piece of wood that fell off a tree. You have a branch on the ground.
Yeah.
If you touch it with nevelis and shirots and all that, it remains tahor. It's got to be. It has to have a shame.
Torus kli.
Now the same thing applies when it comes to oichlin and mashkin. Oichlin and mashkin are also mekabel tuma, but it's kind of. We said such beautiful gems and wit.
I heard them. My ears were ringing.
Well, but you didn't come to appreciate it in person.
That's anyway. Okay. May have been too much.
For you, never. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Anyway, Shabbat. You would have been proud. Reb Shlomo, all the way from Yerushalayim, said such a beautiful word. Anyway.
To be or not to be.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's my name.
Yes. Very good.
So he represented me.
No question about it.
So you're saying about food. So food sometimes can be.
The only foods that are mekabel tuma are machel odam. Food which is roi for a person to eat. If it's only a machel behaima or it's a machel bees, then it does not get a title of machel odam and it's not mekabel tuma. So it's got to be a machel roi, edible, designated, devoted for people. Then it has a shemachel, and it's makabel tuma.
It cannot be.
It cannot be. We already spoke about several times to be or not to be. If you don't mind, maybe you can close
the
door.
Yeah, not at all.
Just so to do it quietly so it doesn't look like. Shkoyach. Thank you. So Omer of Kahana. Devash bekaveres eina yoitzi midei machel li oilam. Even though the devash, honey, it's in the kaveres, presumably the only one that have been consuming it so far to date have been the bees inside the honeycomb or inside the kaveres, inside the beehive. Nevertheless, it has a shem machel. And therefore, when ultimately somebody's going to take some of that honey out and want to eat from it or sell it or whatever, guess what? It will be susceptible to tumah immediately. Mm. You do not have to have a new machshava. That's what he's saying. Lo'oilam, alma kasava lo'i boi machshava. Already inside the beehive it had a shem oichel, and therefore, theoretically, if you had a dead sheretz climb in and touch it, it would become tamei.
But isn't it mechubel lekarka?
That's going to be the next discussion. We're not up to that discussion yet. But in the meantime, that's Rav Kahana's halacha, that if it's in the beehive, already at that time it has a shem machel, and you don't have to afterwards endow it by saying, oh, I decide from now.
Yad shachadam, the dvash of yad.
In a sense, because yad shachadam means that you're being machshir the kabbalah.
Right.
Here we're not being machshir it. In itself, honey is one of the dan. That's the yad shachadam, one of the two dalits is dvash.
And
so we're not talking about that you have to be machshir it. What we're talking about is when does it get ordained or crowned with the name of machol, says Rav Kahana, as soon as it's born, as soon as it's created within the kavaris, it's already shem machol, and therefore if a nevela touches it, it becomes tamei. And when it comes out, and I want to now eat from it, or sell it, or whatever I want to do with it, I don't have to go and have machshava. Oh, I want to make it now to machol adam. It was automatically machol adam from the first moment. That's Rav Kahana's din. Freitamor meitzvah. Let's go back to a braisa. Says in the braisa, dvash bekavaris, if you have dvash inside a kaveres, it does not have the status of an oichel to be makabel tuma, and not a mashke for dinam of tuma. So you're wondering, why is the braisa referring to oichel and to mashke? So Rishbam says on the bottom, four lines from the bottom, because if you're talking about tumas oichlin, it has a shear of a kibaya. If you're talking about a tumas mashke, it has a shear of a revius.
To makabel tuma.
That's a very good question. If you look at the Rishbam, he says it's talking about litamei, to go and transmit. Tamei kebeya or litamei revius. Mil, liatzmoi, mekabel oichel tuma,
bekol
shehu. That's the Rishbam shita, and that's the Rashi shita. Tosis throughout Shas, where it focuses on this issue, respectfully disagrees with Rashi and with Rishbam, and says that the din of these shiurim of kibbeh and berviyas is not only to transmit, but also to makabel tumah as well. Mm-hmm. But Rishbam, you see, says very clearly, even a kosher, and that's how Rashi holds throughout Shas as well.
So it's a makhlek. Once the honey's there,
right,
every part of the honeycomb is affected.
You know, not the honeycomb. The honeycomb is wax.
Right.
It's the honey and the honeycomb are two separate.
Right, but it's
it's like the compartment which is holding.
Right, the holder.
Right,
the container.
Doesn't it stick?
Okay. So you're saying, so should the honeycomb, is the honeycomb a container? Is it a kli? Does it have the nature of a kli, like a container, like a pot?
Mm-hmm.
So the makabel tumah, but it's not a man-made thing. A kli is a man-made thing. Mm-hmm. Can you have a natural kli? I don't think so.
I don't think that a honeycomb would be deemed a kli, because the Torah has a long list of items that are makabel tumah.
Right,
you have oir, eitz, or isak. Exactly, and then you also have by the clay midyan that was made out of matchis, and the Torah gives you a whole bedil voi forest, barzel, all of those things.
I don't think you can kosher honeycomb by putting it in the fire.
So,
for instance, today,
yes,
if you go and buy a plastic clay, this seltzer bottle,
mm-hmm,
or these cups, they're made out of plastic. Mm-hmm. They're not mekabel tumah.
Even though they're a base kibble.
They have a base kibble because it's not brought in the Torah about plastic.
So it comes to the comb, we can brush it off.
Comes to the
comb.
We can brush it off. Very good. Beautiful. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara, the Rav Kahana said very distinctly and very clearly that Dvash B'Kaveres is a machel and it's mekabel tumah. Yet the Braise says the Dvash B'Kaveres ain't a loy oichel, v'loy mashke. It's not an oichel, and therefore it's not mekabel tumah, and it doesn't transmit tumah. Is a kakash and avkan. Avkan is an amoira. He's arguing with a Braise. Amr Abaya! We're going to have two terutz in the teretz of Abaya and the teretz of Ruva. Abaya's teretz is Amr Abaya loitzricha le'oysen shtei chalois. Oh, that's how we got into this. Remember, we said that during the winter months, the owners of the kaveres make sure to hold on to two honeycombs. Why? Because during the winter months, the dvoirim are hungry and they cannot go outside because it's freezing and they don't have fur coats, and therefore they're going to freeze to death. So they stay hibernating inside the kaveres, but the mizchesen, everybody needs to eat. Even the bees need to eat. Mm-hmm. So therefore you leave over the two honeycombs with enough honey to keep them happy from the beginning.
It's machal behema, as it were.
Oh, so 1 second. So now what is Abaye saying? So those shtei chalois, since you devoted and dedicated them to bees and not to bnei adam, mm-hmm, therefore it doesn't get a status of machal adam, but rather, as you say, like machal bahaimu or machal dvoidim. Mm-hmm. Oh, so therefore of Kahan, when he said that Devash B'Kaveres has a shem machal to be able to go and mekabel tumah, that's all the other 10 or 20 honeycombs inside the beehive. Mm-hmm. But the two that have been dedicated and devoted for the bees, they're not machal udam, and therefore
machal
dvayim. Very good. Mm-hmm. That's the teretz of Abai. Rav Amar, this is what you were talking about before.
Yeah.
Rebbe Lezer. Who's Rebbe Lezer? We already had this in the previous parak.
We had
Shabbos
also.
We had it earlier on, back on Daf Samachay, in the previous parak. And the Rishbam says, I'm not going to be mefarish over here because I already explained everything earlier. See, look at the thing. I don't have to tell you the Rishbam can be very expansive when he wants to explain things. And now in the top line, he says, Kvar Pirashi, yeah, look it up over there in Daf Samachay. We already talked about it at great length. Now, what did we talk about at great length? It's not. Kaveres Devoirim. This is a Mishnah in Mesechtes Shvias and Mesechtes Uktsim. What does it say? You have a Kaveres Devoirim, which means a beehive. Rebbe Leza Oimer Hari Huki Karka, Vekoisin Alea Prusbol, Veinem Kabeles Tuma, Bimakoima, Valroidi Bimene Beshabes Ischaev Chatas. Rebbe Leza holds that a Kaveres Devoirim has a din like Mechubala Karka, as if it's a shtik Karka. If it's a shtik Karka, Harika Karka, for what purpose? Rishbam said back on Daf Samachay, that if you want to buy or sell a Kaveres Devoirim, you can do it Bekesef, Ubishtar, Ubechazaka, like a regular piece of real estate. Moreover, Rishbam said, if I want to go and be matna to somebody metaltalin, I can go and be matna it agav karka, the karka of the kaveres devoirim. So I'm selling you a kaveres, and I'm selling to you also a bottle of Beer Mayim seltzer. Mm-hmm. I can go and say I'm selling it on gav karka, the karka meaning the kaveris, because it harihik karka. Because it's only a prusval. In the good old days when they had a prusval in Shmita year, they would have not only do I'm a meisrani lechem, but the yonim mumchem that I'm giving over all of my halvuas, but it had to be dafka if the loiva owned karka. So if the loiva owns one shtick kaveris dvoyim, that's already sufficient. The loiva. Based on that, you can have already a prusval based on a kaveris dvoyim. Why not? Why is not mekabel tumah? Because mechubel, anything which is mechubel karka cannot become mekabel tumah. If somebody wants to remove some honey on Shabbos to eat, they went into the store and they only were able to buy 15 dips, and the person needs honey for a 16th dip. When I was a kid, we didn't know about all these dips. Man no gives fin chrein, but yes, and fish mit chrein, but she gives them mit tchina, mit hummus, mit baba ganoush, and all these other wonderful things. But all these wonderful things, of course, add to the Oynik Shabbos, it's like a Gevaldi Yisach. Anyway, so this person wants to have now Dvash. If he's ready Menev Shabbos, if he removes the Dvash from the honeycomb, Chayev Chatzis, it's as if he's plucking off an apple from a tree, because it's Mechubel HaKark. He's
breaking it off.
V'chachomam Oymrim, Ein Koysen Le'apruzol, V'yayna Kekark, U'mekabelistum, M'mkoyim, V'rena Menev Shabbos, it's Potter, because the Chachom say, do me a favor, this is all metaltalin. And therefore you cannot write a prusbel based on it. And it's not like a karka to go make kinyonim. And it is mekabel tumah because it's just like regular tolish. And if you remove the honey, it's like taking honey out of the honey jar. It's not a problem. It's all metalton. It's a machloikas, Reb Lezer, and the chacham. What's the svara of Reb Lezer? You'll recall we had this in the previous perikam, Reb Lezer. Ben Pedos. My time the blazer Ben Horkinis. The Chassidus in the Pesach. Yitpal Oisim Yaris at Vash. He's talking about Yoinis and
that
it was in the middle of the war, and he had not heard from his father Shlomo Melovich, and now that he eat and now that he drink. Anyway, he was very hungry, and he ate from the Dvash.
His eyes shone.
Exactly. So now the question is, why do you need Yaris Dvash? Yitpal Oisim Dvash. Does it make a difference whether it was in a bottle, whether it was in the forest, whether it was in a honeycomb? Mm-hmm. He took some Dvash. V'chimay Inyan Yar Eitzel Dvash. Loimelach my Yar Hatuk the Men of Shabbos Chayiv Chatos. A forest is trees. If you go and remove an apple from the tree, you're going to be chayiv chatzis.
That's why apples go with honey. You see in Rosh Hashanah.
I never thought of that. That's great. That's great. So it's not apples and oranges. It's apples with honey. A very sweet comment. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara. So how does that help us? Oh, it helped us very well when we said back on the Omer Aleph. The din of tumah. You know why it's not mekabel tumah, and you know why it's not transmits tumah, because if it's in the kaveres, what does Rebbe Lezer hold?
It's
mechubel karka. The din of tumah tara don't apply. It first have to be toilish, then we can start talking. But inside the kaveres, it's not a machal mashke, not because of hilchos oichel, hilchos mashke machal odom. No.
It's a piece of
because it's a piece of karka. It's a piece of it's attached to the ground. Mechubel, yeah, exactly. Good. Pray Timur and Meis Ve'Avakashina. A new brisa. Dvash hazov mi kavrosi. Oh, now what happens? Dvash, which is now flowing, it's no longer kept in the kaveres. It's making a plata. It's oozing going and now oozing out. Good. Einlele oichav loy mashke. It does not have the status of oichel or mashke. Now the Gemara is assuming that this price is related to the previous price, and maybe it's the sefer, even though the Gemara didn't say Eima sefer, but it could be that it's a sefer. And now the Gemara is saying the Dvash is now leaving the Kaveres, it's still not a machl or mashke. Bishlam al Abaye Nicha. According to Abaye, I understand that. Why? Because since it was devoted and dedicated for the Dvoirim, even though some of it is starting to ooze and starting to flow, but lemaisa, this is devoirim machel, until I change my machshava and say, no, I no longer want it for the devoirim, I'm going to take it for myself. Oh, now it's nishtana to be a machel odom. But as long as it was devoted initially and dedicated, bees, I know you're worried about the winter months, you have nothing to worry about. I left over 2 chalas dvash inside the kaveris for your needs. So now even when it's zav subsequently, but it's their kaveris, it's not my dvash. If I take some dvash, I'm stealing it, so to speak, from the bees. So therefore, that makes sense, according to Bai. El Rav Akasha, if the whole reason why in the Brayse it said that it's not oichel mashke because of that it's mechubel karka, guess what? As soon as it comes out of the kaveris,
it's on the move. It's no longer
it's no longer mechubel akarka. It's metaltolin, and therefore it should be mekabel and transmit tumah. Both Rav Zvid and Rav Acha give similar terutzim. Omer Rav Zvid ki goin shezov al gabi kli mo'us. Rav Acha bar Yankov omer ki goin shezov al gabi kaskasim. What does this mean? What the Gemara means to say is that straight from the beehive, it fell on something which didn't allow the oichel to become machel odom because it's inedible. Why is it inedible? It's taka true that these inside it was not the two chalas vash, not like a bayit. This was regular oichel of dvash inside. The reason why it wasn't mekabel tuma because it was mechuber. When it came out, unfortunately, it didn't land up on a nice, beautiful glass crystal bowl, but rather it fell into a clean moist. People saw it, I'm not going to eat from that dvash.
It's the 5-second principle.
In 5 seconds, because honey, you can't pick up after right, it exactly. Is again.
Exactly. So that's the point. It never got transformed into machel odom. The Vacha Bar Yankov says, clean moist and nishka ferlech, because you can always wash it off. That little bit which is on the plate itself, okay, you'll throw that out. But anything on top of that, I'll scoop it out. So therefore, Vacha Bar Yankov says, you're going to gabi kaskasin. Kaskasin, the Rishba means thorns. If the honey falls onto thorns.
Broken glass.
Exactly. It's impossible.
You're not going to eat it because it's a hazard.
So it's basically the same teretz in terms of, yes, it's a machal odom, but it's inedible.
Technically, but it's inedible for other reasons.
Exactly.
It's repulsive or it's hazardous.
Mm. And being for that, that's why it doesn't get transformed into oichel amashkin, and that's why Deval, it's still not the kabbalah.
But there was that moment between the time it left the beehive.
So apparently it was right on the plate. In other words, you didn't even have it.
There was a brief period. There was a brief period.
Between a quarter of a second?
And the question is nitzuk like, you know, mechubur or not?
Ketapris, yeah.
But there was a period where it was edible and available to be.
You're assuming it fell like this and fell like that.
Yeah, exactly.
It could be straight from. Okay. The kli mois was right underneath it.
I love it, okay. Whatever.
Yeah. And it wouldn't be so surprising because presumably, and I'm not in the beehive business, so I couldn't tell you for sure, but presumably after a while, if it's a hot day or whatever, some of the honey could leak from the beehive, so he probably has some sort of container underneath it to catch it. Right, and what happens
they
if you...
Plate.
Yeah, exactly. The Yochum plate the same. They put a plate underneath the kaveris, and what happens if after a while he doesn't clean off, he doesn't go to the plate every day to go and wish it up, some dust falls on and this and that, and the initial honey, so why do you put the plate there in the first place? So it shouldn't fall on somebody's hat, or on somebody's head, or on somebody's clothing, or whatever. Or as soon as you see that there's a drop of honey, you'll wash it off, and you'll bring a new plate, and you'll be able to have honey. Okay, continue on. Meisvei. Dvash bekavrosoi, dvash inside the kaveris, ein alei oichel v'loi mashke. It doesn't have the status of oichel or mashke. It's considered to be something which is not mekabel and does not transmit tumah. However, chishev avol achila, once you say to yourself, I intend eating from that dvash, metame tumas oichlin. I'm sorry. If you chishev avol achila, metame tumas oichlin, lemashke metame tumas mashke. Once your mind is set, and now you have taka machshava. Remember, if Kana said in the Yomar Aleph, it doesn't need a machshava. If Kana tvash bekveres in yoytz v'dei machel, alma kasava leivoi machshava. Here, this brisa says initially the tvash bekavrosa is not an oichlu mashke, but if you're choishiv olav laachila metame tumas oichlin, the mashke metame tumas mashke. It's bishlam labai nicha. According to Bai, this is again very understandable. We're talking about the dvash inside the two honeycombs. Inside the two honeycombs, they've been dedicated for the dvoyim. And therefore, it's not a machal odom, it's not a machal odom, gunish. But when Am Zechish Vachila, he said, you know, those dvoyim have already eaten enough dvash. I left them these two huge honeycombs, I have charata, they don't need so much honey. I'm going to take some of that honey, 20%, 50%, whatever, I'm going to take for myself. Oh, so now when he has such a chishul achila, then it changes from a machal dvoirim into machal adam, and it's metamei, and it's makabotum. So according to Bai, this works very nicely. El Rova Kasha, according to Rova, I don't understand. You're saying the vash inside the kaveris is not an oichel, not a mashke. What's the reason why? Chum l'karka, like Reblazer. So now when I have a machshava, ooh, but I'm going to eat from that, and he rotzoin, I'm going to say the he rotzoin on Rosh Hashanah. He rotzoin mitmet the tapuach, and then the chal, I'm going to dip into the honey, mitagant samayser, shonatov mesuka, I have in mind. Rabbi Isai, as long as it's still in the kaveris and it's still mechubel karka, you can have as many machshavas as you want. The most pure machshavas, lemaisa, it's still mechubel karka. So why does it say in the Braisa, it's not, if you chishiv olam metame?
You can change it.
You can change it inside the kaveris. So Rabbi gives, if you will, an easy fix, but it's hard to understand how to make that easy fix. Amlech Rabbi, tritzachi. Go back to the Braisa again. Chishiv olav l'achila, what did it say in our Braisa? Metame tumas oichlin. Go and just add one small word, four letters. Chishiv olav l'achila, eina metame tumas oichlin. If you chishiv olav l'mashkin, so it's an easy teretz, and for just add the word einoi. But it's a difficult shot because it's, you know, mikotzel akotzel. Previously, the Braisa said that you transform into an oichel into a mashke. Rav said, no, there's a mistake in the Braisa. It's einoi. It doesn't change. As long as it's mechubar, it's mechubar. Tani kavasid Rav Kahana that we had on the Omer Aleph. What did Rav Kahana say? That as long as inside the kaveris, it is a meichel, even without machshava. Says the Gemara, "Tvash v'kabrosim metametumas oichlin shloim machshavas." Mamish word for word, like Rav Kahana said, that inside the kaveris it is makabel, it is metametumas oichlin, even without any new machshavas. Okay, zaysim lokas meniach shtei grufiyos. Okay, from here to the bottom of the Yabed is quite straightforward. Turn around, we have a brisa. By the zaysim, we said that if you wanted to regenerate, you have to leave over two branches. Mm-hmm. You can go and take off, if it had 20 branches, you could take off 18. Just leave two. Now the Braisa tells us it really depends on the tree. We were talking until now about Zeisim. But Tana Rabban, Halakeach Ilan Mechaveri, Lokutz, you're buying an Ilan from Yechaver to go and cut off of it lumber for construction. So you're not buying the entire Ilan, just enough for your lumber needs. So Megvim and Akarka, Tefach, Bekoitzitz, a regular tree, just leave a stump of one Tefach, cut all the rest, no problem. Miachem, the tree will regenerate from that one tefach of stump. Basul is a shikma, if you're talking about a sycamore tree, but it's a young sycamore tree, then you have to leave over three tefach. Sadna shikma, it's already an old sycamore tree, and as long as you leave over base tefach, that already will be enough, you'll be able to regenerate. Bekonim ubekfan, if you're talking about reeds, you're talking about geffen, you're talking about vines inside a vineyard for grapes. Menapakak ulamala. You have to do is from the knot and higher. Knot, of course, is K-N-O-T. I don't know exactly how knots work in vines, but I guess it works there too. But you see in the trees, if you ever look at it carefully, you'll see in the middle of the tree there's such a knot. As long as what you cut is above the knot, then it will continue to grow and regenerate. Mm-hmm. If it's below the knot, then it's not going to regenerate. Now, but if you're talking about a deco tree, ubarozim, you're talking about an eris tree, a cedar tree, choyferu misharish. There you can go and dig underneath the tree and remove the entire tree and uproot it. Once you start cutting, that's the end of this tree. This tree is not going to regenerate whatsoever. So if you bought a decal or an eris tree for purposes of lumber, you can uproot the whole tree. You don't have to leave even a tefach, not an inch, because it's not going to regenerate anyway. Period. So that's the end of the bright. And now the Gemara asks the question. You're telling me you need three tvachim to be able to regenerate, leave over three tvachim. Where is my kasha from? My kasha from is a Mishnah Masechta Shviyas. Shviyas, which is talking about, of course, Shmittah. What the Gemara tells us is that when you cut part of a tree, some people would look upon this as being, you know, almost like a mazik, oh, you're cutting part of the tree. But in fact, very often it helps the tree to further regenerate and rejuvenate, and therefore it's similar to pruning, right, where you prune certain trees to take away certain branches. Well, you take away the branch, because you want to make the rest of the tree stronger and stronger. Yeah. Anyway, so therefore, ain't koitzim so shikma in shmitiyim, and they should avoid it, because it's an avoid. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kedar koi osur. If you're going to do kedarka like you would normally do, it would that could be osur and shmitah. Ella magbir yitvachim v'koitzit. As long as you leave 10 tvachim on the ground, then it's certainly going to regenerate, and that is already permissible, and that's not considered to be an avoid. As long as you leave 10 tvachim v'koitzit. Oy goimim mi'im ma'aret. Or I have another alternative: go all the way down to the ground and be goimim on level ground. You can cut it there and leave it. Zokti Gemara, in these two cases, it would not be an avoida, and therefore it's permissible to do in the Shmittiyah. So now, we're not focusing on the Yud Tfachim, we're going to focus on the Goyimim Me'im Aretz, that as long as you go all the way down to the ground, to the surface, you don't even leave 1 inch, what's the din? Hu Dekashi. That is injurious and damaging for the tree, and you can assume that this tree is not going to regenerate and not rejuvenate. It's a dead, not a dead duck, but it's a dead tree. And therefore, that's why it's permissible in Shemitah year, because you're not improving the tree, you're destroying the tree. That's what the Gemara is, that's what's mashma from this Rabbi Yehuda of that Mishnah. Zok Gemara. Oh, so I'm going to be bedaik. Me'im haaretz hu dekashi. It's only damaging to the tree if it's mamish level with the ground that I cut it there. Ha'idach, what happens if I would leave, for instance, 1 inch or 2 inches above the ground? The malila, then it wouldn't damage the tree, but would allow for the rejuvenation. Why do you have to say that? Because Gemara is saying the only time that it's permitted, if you go and level with the ground, leave nothing behind, then the tree will die. But it's mash an inch or two or three, it will be able to reproduce and regenerate. Then you're not allowed to do that because it's avoided bishvias. Yet you said in the previous brisa that if you're buying this type of tree, what was the name of the tree? The psulus hashikma. Did you have to leave three tvach? Why do you have to leave three tvach? Just leave 3 inches, 2 inches, 1 inch. Just as long as it's above ground level. It's a chalchoyra stira between this brisa and the Mishnah. Amar Abaye, there's really no stira. Amar Abaye, gimel tvachim malila. Me'in ma'aretz vadi kashila. We're going to go now mikotze el hakotze. That if you're going to leave the tree above three tvachim, in other words, leave a stump of three tvachim, that's malila. Then certainly it's going to rejuvenate, it's going to regenerate, and therefore the lekeach ilan lokutz, then if he's buying a psulus hashikma, just leave three tvachim and you know it's going to reproduce, regenerate, and everything is fine. It's malila. Me'imaritz, if you go all the way down to level ground, vadi kashila, there's no question about it, that is going to be very pikuach nefesh for this tree. Mikan ve'elach means in between the imaritz and the gimel tvachim, then loy makshi kashila, v'lav iluya malila. It really depends. For some trees, this is going to be disastrous. It's going to die because it's less than three tvachim. And for other trees, as long as it's above ground level, it'll be malila, it'll still remain. It really depends on the tree. You can't make one standard rule for all trees. Ah, Sagabi Shvi is the Gabi Shmita of Dinan Midi Devadi Kashila. We have to be machmir, chen iser, to work in trees. So go all the way down to the ground, even though perhaps even if you only left over 3 inches or two tvachim, maybe it would already die because it's less than three tvachim. But on the other hand, maybe it will survive because it's above ground level. So therefore, do something that we know for sure, ground level, that's the death of this tree. That's permissible in Shemitah. Since we do not want to destroy this tree, all the person who's purchasing the psulus hashikma was, he wants lumber, but he wants the tree to continue to survive, because the moicher wants it to survive, and Mitzvah in 5 years from now, 10 years from now, is going to come back and is going to buy more lumber from this tree. So therefore we go to the other extreme and we say, leave over three tvachim that we know for sure that there is no issue that it will continue to survive.
So we assume he would.
He would. I got the essence. Good. The
essence.
Good.
We can't eat.
You can't eat it, but
try to eat the bark.
Except unless you give it to a dog. Okay, anyway, continue on the Gemara. Bitkon with our razim, choifer misharish, lefish ein gizan machlif. If you go and buy from someone a deckel tree or an eris tree for purposes of lumber, then you might as well just uproot the whole thing because it won't regenerate. These trees don't regenerate. Fish ein gizan machlif. Fakim of eris ein gizan machlif. Is that true? Vodar shabchim bar lulaini. Maitach siv. It says in the Pasuk Tadak Tamar, Ifrach eris bavon and yiske. So the Tzadik has both malice. He's like a tamar, a date tree, and he's like an eris, like a cedar tree. Why do we have to give him both titles? One title is enough. Just like an eris does not be a fruit, it's a barren tree. Maybe the tzadik is also not oisepeiros. Now over here we don't mean Pharisee, he won't have children, says Rishbam, but maybe all his work for Olam Hazeh his tzidkus, his mitzvahs, and mas and toivim, maybe that won't bear any fruit. La'olam haba, he won't get schar. So I might have thought. The kachnem etamar, just like Tamar Baruch Hashem bears lots of fruit, the works of the tzaddik ba'olam hazeh that will bear tremendous amounts of fruits. La'olam haba. V'im nem matamar, if we only say tamar, then my eres. So you see, I'm matamar ain't gives a machliv. The tamar, unfortunately, when a date tree is the cut a date tree, it doesn't regenerate. Av tzaddik would say also ain't gives a machliv chas v'shalom that it will not regenerate. Kachnema Eris to go and say, no, the tzaddik will regenerate the Miyat Shem with children and Eniklach and future generations.
So the tzaddik has to wait for a later date.
He has to wait for a later date. For the Tamari date, yeah, very good. Beautiful. Anyway, what do I see from this? Kachnema Eris, that Eris is Gizay Machlev. So I have no astira. You said a moment ago that Kolm Varazim, you can be Choyfer Misharish, Fish Engiz and Machlev. And now this Dorish Bchi Barulaini, you say that Eris is Gizay Machlev. So make up your mind. Oh, there are different types of cedar trees. Yud Mine Rosam. Hey, did you know that? There are 10 different types of cedar trees. Shanem, it says in the Pasik. The Boy Shalom says, Etin Mamimar, I'm going to have growing out of the midbar. Erez and Shita and Hodas and Eid Shaman and Asim and Allah Baba. And the Gemara is going to explain each one of these terms. For those of you that have the English art scroll, you'll be able to see exactly what these terms are. Erez is Arza, that cedar. Shita, it's continuation of the Pasuk. Erez, Shita, Hodas, Eid Shaman, etc. So Shita is Tornisa. Rishbam says Tornisa is pine. That's the pine tree. People pine for having a piece of that tree. Hodas, of course, is Asa. That's Hadassim that we use on Sukkot. Yeah, myrtle. Eid Shaman is Afarsima. Afarsima is?
Parsimon.
Doesn't have one of them is Balsam. Maybe this one, maybe another one. Okay. Barosh is Barti. The art scroll, I think, says that that's boxwood. Tidhor is Shaga.
For fir tree.
Not
cross trees are fir trees.
Okay, very good. And Tashur are Shervina. What's a Shervina?
They don't know. 45. None of the identifies. Its identity is unknown.
Not only does the art scroll not know.
The Rashbam.
The Rashbam. Look at the Rashbam, two lines from the bottom. You can look over here.
Lois Farish.
Rashbam looked up the art scroll. He doesn't say. Sheshtaiknish. Okay. Frank Dimara, if you add up all those that we mentioned, this Pasik, the Erez, the Shita, the Hodas, the Eit Shamein, the Broish, the Tidhar, and the Sashur, Hani Zainhaver. You said there are 10, there are only 7 altogether. Why are you telling me 10 Minei Arozim? Ki Asav Dimi, Omer, Hoisifa Alein, the Chachamim said, besides the Pasik, there are 3 other species or types of the Erez tree. Aloinim, Almoinim, Almoigim. What are these 3? Aloinim are the butni. What size butni? Excuse us for a moment.
Elm.
Elm tree, thank you. Then almoinim is bluti.
Oak.
And that's oak tree. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. And almoigim is kisisa. Kisisa is coral. And in fact, the Rishbam says at the top line that is coral. So that is coral, which is coral in English. So that's 3 plus 7, you get to 10. There's another version, not aloinim, almoinim, almoigim, but rather aroinim, armoinim, almoinim. And that is aroinim are ori. What size ori? Says Rishbam at the top. That's laurel tree. Laurel, right? You've got to be loyal to the laurel.
You can't rest on your laurels.
Armoinim is dulvi, and dulvi is castanion. Castanion are chestnut trees. And almoigim is the same as before. That's ksisa, that's the coral. Mm-hmm. So what's the Gemara's eretz? It depends which eretz you're talking about. Some eretz trees, taka, ain't gizay machlif, but other eretz trees, yesh gizay machlif. So by tzaddikim, when we're talking about eretz, we're talking about yesh gizay machlif, Baruch Hashem. And when we said that when you're buying a tree from the other guy, you're buying an eretz tree, you can go and be oikir totally. Talking about that type of eretz, which ain't gizay machlif. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Zazagim.